I'm wondering what's really, I mean, there's so much. We're talking about the fascinating things that are going on in the NBA. What has grabbed your attention at the top of the list? I mean, Butler and the Wolves, Kawhi here in Toronto, and this Rondo Paul thing that's going on in the NBA. What's at the top of your list?
Well, it has to do with Rondo and Paul because, you know, LeBron's the biggest story, right? So it affected LeBron and the Lakers. And, of course, it brought up the whole Chris Paul nonsense about what happened last year when he tried to sneak into the Clipper locker room to take on Austin Rivers. He got away with murder there. And now there's this whole debate about kind of who's dirtier, Chris Paul or Rondo. And, you know, LeBron is 0-3. He hasn't been that in a while, and he knows what he got himself into out west while everybody in the East is celebrating. So that's what I'm kind of looking at.
It's also funny because everybody, we all have different perceptions, but I always think guys go through ebbs and flows with reputations. Magic Johnson's riding high right now. He got LeBron to come there, okay? He owns the Dodgers. But when he coached, it was a bit of a tire fire. It's a little like Isaiah. Like Isaiah had enough people say, God, I'd go Mark Aguirre, right? Best friend. But Adrian Dantley never forgave Isaiah for kind of pushing him out the door to get his buddy there. Well, too bad. They ended up winning two titles. So Jordan, so many superstars are going to polarize guys they played with, and some guys are going to love them and some guys aren't.
Well, yeah, that's the way it goes. And, I mean, we'll see what happens with Chris. You know, the big thing with Chris Paul, and I think everybody knows this, is he got hurt last year, the most inopportune time. His team was ready to knock out the Warriors, go to the finals, and he got hurt for the fourth straight time in the playoffs. He either was knocked out of the playoffs, as it was in this case, or he was hindered by an injury. And then, you know, the Rockets still gave him a ton of money. They gave him that fifth year, but they gave him a big four-year deal. So, you know, besides the fighting and stuff, which is going to go away, it's this whole thing about, is Chris Paul going to actually be there when the Rockets really need him in May and June? I don't know about that.
Well, and then there's the fact that LeBron and Rondo are still teammates, right? After the fight, it's LeBron. He puts his arms around Paul. Now Rondo calls out LeBron's buddy, but they're not teammates. Rondo and LeBron have to be together for a while. Is this going to end poorly? Is going to embrace this guy who called out his friend?
Well, you know, the thing about, I'll say this about LeBron. LeBron getting involved, you know, doing his deal, his little dance with Chris Paul. Chris Paul's the only one, I mean, LeBron's the only one that Chris Paul would pay attention to in that situation. So I don't blame LeBron at all. The guy I really blame in this whole thing is Brandon Ingram, who got the four games. You know, who woke him up? He did something very dangerous, try to escalate that fight. Now, in terms of Rondo and LeBron, this just might be a one-year thing. So, you know, he's going to move on from Rondo. The Lakers move on. They're going to get a big-time number two guy for LeBron. And by the way, I know you've noticed this, guys. This is the first time in a long time that LeBron is in a season where he doesn't have an acknowledged number two star. I mean, last year it didn't work out with Isaiah Thomas. But before that, he always had a Dwayne Wade, or he always had a Kyrie Irving. Now, you know, you try to identify his number two star, and you're shaking your head because this is the reason why they're looking at a 7th or 8th seed.
Mitch Lawrence, our guest, 836 on Brady and Price. The T-Wolves are here tonight. We got so much we want to talk about with you, Raps 4-0 and Jimmy Butler and even James Dolan. But and by the way, I've really enjoyed listening to you. I'm listening to NBA radio a lot in SiriusXM.
Oh,
you guys have a deep roster. Well, you and Isola, when you're on with him, that's great. The stories are amazing. You guys must, and the jabs too. You guys are a good combination together. Yeah, you've known each other
a long
time.
Frank and I go back only about 25 years,
yeah.
And we were at the Daily News, you know, for a long time, and then we were both asked to succeed elsewhere, as we say. We both got fired by the Daily News, laid off. And so anytime I have an opportunity to work with Frank, it's pretty easy.
It's been great. So we watched, we both, Ellie and I, not that we're, it's not like a roommate thing or whatever, but we both watched Pistons Sixers last night. And
yes.
I couldn't be more enthralled by, I don't know when the next, I didn't stay up late for Lakers Spurs enough to see the overtime, but it was an enthralling regular season game. And right away when I saw Blake, who had 50 points, 20 of 35, I thought, he's lighter, he looks smoother, he's being asked to do different things, maybe than he was, certainly than he was by Stan Van Gundy, and maybe than he was the last couple of years with the Clippers. Is there something there with the Pistons? Zaza even coming off the bench and elbowing guys, because that's what he does. Mm. Is there something there with the 3-0 Pistons team? Are they a bit of a sneaky bubble playoff team for you, maybe?
Oh, yeah, I think that the Pistons, you know, now, the big concern always with any team where you have Blake Griffin is, how's he going to hold up? He's always getting hurt. I mean, that's been his number one problem, right, during his whole NBA career, ever since he came into the league. So last night he had a tremendous game. I watched that with a lot of interest because you had Embiid going at it with Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond got thrown out. Pistons still survived that. I mean, you know what? They lost a very good coach in Stan Van Gundy, but as you guys know, they got a very good coach in Dwayne Casey. And so for my money, it's all about, you know, like a lot of teams, the health of their best players. Can Reggie Jackson answer the bell for the better part of an 82-game season in playoffs? Blake Griffin, et cetera. I just don't know about Blake. I mean, we all think, you know, he's a kind of on a great team, he'd be your number two or number three guy. He's paid, of course, like a number one guy. But the big concern with him is his durability, which is always a concern. So I picked him to finish eighth, but never say never with Blake and his health.
With Mitch Lawrence, so loving your stuff here on the NBA, but I want you to know that when all is said and done, what I wrote down here was ask to succeed elsewhere. I thought, like, I have to retain that information as something.
You don't want to put that on a business card.
Well,
but yeah,
I needed it before. All right, so Butler's in town, right? Let's go there.
Yes. I
said he would never play another game with Minnesota. I'm wrong. All right. How do they get along? I mean, he called them out, but there's rumors that there were other things that were going on with Butler.
Right.
And so how do they look at each other and play together as a team after everything that he said and done?
I don't know. And that's the big problem for Tom Thibodeau. The young guys hate Butler. I don't think the young guys love Tibbs that much in terms of coaching. Butler doesn't like the young guys. They don't work as hard as he does. And Jimmy thinks, you know, Jimmy's got this inflated view of himself that he's like Kobe Bryant. So it's a mess there, and it's still going to be a mess until they get rid of him. The problem is that only Miami wants him, really, in terms of, you know, I know there are other teams that want him, but, you know, the Clippers know they can get Jimmy Butler to sign there without giving up any assets and do that in July. Pat Riley only has so much on his roster. You look at Miami, and they don't have a lot to give. So they're at a stalemate, and I just don't think it's going to work. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think that along the lines, they're going to have a lot of problems between, obviously, Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. And then you got Andrew Wiggins, who sometimes is motivated, sometimes he isn't. He doesn't make enough of an impact. So I think Toronto's looking at a 5-0 start because they also get one of the worst defensive teams. I mean, we all talk about Tom Thibodeau being a very good defensive coach, and he is, but he can't get through to these guys. And I think it's going to translate into another big win for the Raptors.
It's one thing as well. Yeah, Derrick Rose is interesting. He's off to a good start. He always gets hurt. He's coming off the bench. He doesn't usually do that. But have Wiggins in town. So that's the great battle. In all the markets, are people inclined to go, yeah, you know what? It's a little like OBJ in your city talking about Eli Manning. It's true, but you don't have to say everything that's true that comes out of your mouth. You might want to edit and filter. Is Jimmy Butler accurate about Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and people nodding across the league going, yeah, he's right. Those guys don't show up enough and don't give enough.
Yeah, he's right in terms of they don't work as hard as he does. But, you know, in this day and age, it's like nothing's kept in-house between players going public on social media, going to the media. That's just the way of the world. And so it is a polarizing impact on that locker room. And I don't think it's going to, you know, they're going to have Jimmy Butler will not be there next year. But I got news for you, too. And I've said this all along. Tom Thibodeau won't be there next year. I think that is heading for an exit. He's heading for an exit. I see a guy like a Chauncey Billups taking over his position in terms of running a team and bringing in a coach who can get along with Karl Anthony Towns. And we'll see if they are able to keep Wiggins. You know, when Blake Griffin got traded, I think that opened a lot of people's eyes to the fact that even a guy with an unwieldy, a huge mega contract can get traded. You need a desperate team, as Detroit was. And now never say never on Andrew Wiggins. Everybody says, he makes too much money, can't trade him. Hey, all you need is one desperate team and to go after Wiggins, and we'll see what they do. But I think when the long-term thing, when you look at it, is no Jimmy Butler next year, maybe for parts of this year too, and definitely no Tom Thibodeau because he and the owner are not getting along.
The excellent Mitch Lawrence, our guest. I don't think this story is too New York-centric, and I think our listeners can relate to it, but this there's a bit of a war going on with WFAN Radio, where the famous Mike Francesa works, and James Dolan. Dolan owns the Rangers and the Knicks and says, no more guests, limited access, I'm shutting things down. Now, one of the hosts of the station, we've all done this a long time, and we utterly, I have never said anything like this about a person. There's always going to be an owner, a team, a GM that doesn't like something, but it's almost always professional criticism. Maggie Gregg called James Dolan, quote, a vile piece of trash. And this is all about his relationship with Harvey Weinstein. Where is Dolan overreacting this? Will he now, because he's unpopular to begin with, lose the PR battle here? Or can some people say, I understand it. It's a little too personal to absolutely flame us on somebody like that.
Well, Dolan takes on everybody. He even takes on old Knicks like Charles Oakley.
Yes.
We've seen that. I mean, remember that whole thing with Charles Oakley when he had that deal at the Garden involving James Dolan, and Dolan went public, and basically I think he insinuated or he said that, you know, Charles Oakley has a drinking problem.
That's right.
Or something. So James Dolan is always ready to fight the good fight as he sees it, and he has a lot of enemies in the media. I'm one of them, too. I never said anything in print. Like Maggie Grace said on The Fan, but, you know, the Garden is always lashing out at the critics, and all we come back with at is that Jim Dolan has been this incompetent owner. He's willing to spend money. He just happens to hire the wrong people. I can give you a million examples, the most recent being, you know, Phil Jackson.
Yes.
And that the Knicks and their fans are worse for it because he just can't get his act together as an owner who knows what he's doing. So we'll see how it shakes out. You know, it's unfortunate for Maggie Gray, but, I mean, you know, she got a lot of publicity out of it, too. She obviously feels that way. And then you have this rather interesting kind of intra-something war. What's the word that I'm looking for? Where she kind of like Mike Francesa, who's the still the number one guy here in terms of personality in New York, in terms of the radio, in terms of WFAN. He's kind of throwing her under the bus. So you got Dolan at war with WFAN, but you also have within WFAN, you got this battle between Big Mike and Maggie Grace. So it just makes for some interesting radio.
And our show, Who Gets Along With Everybody, we can't get enough of this. We love it. It's a five-star gossip stuff. I can't wait to read more about it, you know?
No, well, you know what? It'll pass. We'll look at the Knicks. I'm more fascinated in, is Dave Fizdale the right hire? What's the deal with Porzingis? When is he going to come back? Can they actually attract some big-time free agents to New York? I mean, this is still a reflection on James Dolan's ownership if guys want to come to New York and play here or not. And we'll see if he's ever able to get the Knicks back with his people, Scott Perry and Steve Mills, now to the point where they're where they're relevant, because right now there's still kind of a dumpster fire over there in terms of their wins and losses.
Mitch Lawrence, always on fire. Always a pleasure. Come back soon.
Unless I'm asked to succeed elsewhere.